Shalom and welcome to Chazak Ve'Ematz, Be Strong and Very Courageous. This is Pastor David Oakes again from the Light Church Fellowship and the founder of David Oakes Ministries and Israel Study Tours with David Oakes. Thanks for joining us again this day, and thanks for spending the next 30 minutes with us as we open up the Word of God, as we are discussing Israel and the end times, and how we can live successfully in this hour. Remember, we were in 1 Chronicles, the 12th chapter last week. 1 Chronicles, the 12th chapter. David was not yet king of Israel, but God was moving in the hearts of people, and they were joining themselves in with David because he was about to be anointed king. And one of the tribes that came unto David, it says in 1 Chronicles 12:32, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. Notice that there were men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Now we turn then after that to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew, the 16th chapter, and Jesus saying to the Pharisees in verse 1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? So here the Lord was saying to them, yeah, you can look out into heaven, and you can look up into the sky, and you can see when the sky says it's going to be raining, or when the sky says it's going to be snowing, or whatever the situation is. But you don't have the ability to look and see the signs of the times. Now, Jesus was speaking specifically of one happening of the signs of that time, and that was the coming of him, the Messiah, to the nation of Israel. Glory be unto God. Well, here were the tribe of Issachar, and they were understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Now, our purpose in teaching you today is so that you will understand the times that we are living in, so that you can read the signs. You know, if you're going down the road and you see a sign next to the road, that sign is giving you information about something, maybe something that's going to come up. I recently was on a highway, and as we were going down this interstate, had a sign, and it would say a restaurant in 2 miles. Well, it was giving me information of what was coming. Well, there are signs that give us information on what's coming. We can read the signs of these times and know that Jesus is going to be calling the church unto himself in just a brief period of time. So let's go to where we were last week, to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Genesis, the 12th chapter. Remember, get that Bible. It's okay to write in it. It's okay to highlight it. God's not going to get mad at you, and I'm not going to get mad at you. Glory to God. Now look here at chapter 12. God told Abraham to go from Ur of the Chaldees and to sojourn, and God would tell him when he got to where he wanted him to go. And he landed upon a place called the Plain of Moreh in verse 6. It says the Canaanite was then in the land. And we looked at how the Plain of Moreh in Hebrew is Alon Moreh. Alon is an oak tree. My last name is Oaks. In Hebrew, it's Alonim. Alon Nim, so the singular is Alon, like an oak tree. And so it says, Alon Moreh, that is the oak of inspiration, the oak of teaching, the oak of illumination, the oak of revelation, if you will. And God appeared to him in verse 7 and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord Jehovah, who appeared unto him. Hallelujah. So right there in Shechem, right up from Shechem on that little mountain we spoke about last week, that little mountain, Alon Moreh, overlooking Shechem, which is modern-day Nablus, which in John 4 is, in the time of Jesus, was Sychar, where the Samaritan woman gave Jesus water to drink out of the well. That's where God revealed himself unto Abram and said, this land is your land. Now, then we have over in chapter 13, so we could go on over there, and there was strife happening between Abram's group and Lot's group, And where there's strife, there's every evil work, the Bible says. So Abraham said, you just choose which way you're going to go, and I'll take the other way. So Lot chose down by Sodom and Gomorrah. And then it says this. We need to read a little bit in chapter 13 to find out where Abram was. Verse 1, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. Isn't it nice to know that God called him to go out and blessed him and made him rich? It's okay with God if you're rich. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, or Bethel in Hebrew, the house of God, which is north of Jerusalem, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Chai. And so we can find that if we make reference back to chapter 12, verse 8. And that's where he made an altar, and verse 4 tells us that. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. So then comes the separation between Lot and Abraham's families. And it says down in verse 12, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Remember, the land of Canaan is where the Canaanites were. Over there, and it says in verse 6 of chapter 12, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, and it says, and the Canaanite was then in the land. So going back to chapter 13, verse 12, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Verse 14, now we want you to get this, because here he was in Bethel. Then there was the separation. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. So he's up there north of Jerusalem, what is now modern day Jerusalem. He's up in what the world calls the West Bank, but the Bible calls Samaria. Remember, that's where the area where the Samaritan was at, the mountains of Israel, Ezekiel says. And he was up there, and the Lord said, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Notice how long this is going to happen. To thy seed forever. Well, that's the area that the world is calling the disputed territories. That's the area that the world outside of the Bible is calling the occupied territories. But God said, Abraham, whatever you see to the north, south, the east, and the west, I've given this to you forever. Well, how long's forever? Well, forever's forever. It's not a day. It's not 1,000 years. It's not to a specific time or event that happens. Forever is forever. Now, this is the kind of language God talks to Abraham with. And to he talks the same way to Isaac, and he speaks the same way to Jacob. God speaks of forever. And notice what verse 16 says, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Notice that? He said, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre. Remember, he said, wherever you can walk in the length and the breadth, that's what I'm going to give to you. So there he was, up towards north of Jerusalem, and now he's headed down south of Jerusalem to the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron. Still there's a city there today, which is in Hebron, down towards the south, in what the world calls the West Bank. Hebron has the largest Arab population of any community south of Jerusalem, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto God. But the Bible says that God gave it unto Abraham and his seed. Now, as we go on in this over the next few weeks, you're going to find out that God was speaking specifically not of Abraham through Ishmael, the son of Abraham through Sarah's handmaid. No, we're going to find out in the Word of God that the seed came through Isaac, the son of promise, and then through Jacob. Now notice this, how much of the land was included in this forever promise? I put that in quotation marks, this forever promise. How much? As much as he could see and walk through Glory be unto God. Now let's go on and let's go to a next passage of Scripture over in chapter 17 of Genesis. Verse 1, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect, or be thou mature. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Avraham in Hebrew, Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Notice that he says, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations. Notice it says seed after thee in their. That's plural. Now, we talked about this a little last week. Sometimes when the Bible's speaking of the seed of Abraham, it's speaking of Jesus in the singular. Then other times when it's speaking about the seed of Abraham, it's speaking of the biological seed of Abraham, the Jewish people. And we know that because this is in plural. It's not in the singular. It says seed after thee in there. That's more than one. Didn't say seed after thee in his. It says seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Let me read that whole thing uninterrupted in verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Now notice how long this covenant goes that God's making with them. This covenant or this testament, this covenant is an everlasting covenant. Now that seems like the same terminology that we found over there in chapter 14, where God said in verse 15, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Then here in chapter 17, God says this, after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant. In other words, this covenant does not come to an end. God is making covenant with Abraham. And this covenant through for with Abraham and his biological seed, the Jewish people, is forever. It's everlasting. Verse 8, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land. What land? Wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So God speaks of an everlasting covenant. God enters into a covenant with Abraham and the children of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob, and then the children of Israel after Jacob. And God says that this everlasting covenant is the land that God has given unto Abraham and his seed. How much of the land? All the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now, we're going to find out something as we study over the next weeks. We can't cover it all in 30 minutes today, so you're just going to have to come back with us and listen, because we're teaching, not preaching. I'm just teaching, glory to God, to enlighten your minds to what the Bible says, to enlighten your hearts to what the Bible says. What you hear on the news, what you hear coming out of the UN, what you hear sometimes coming out of even our politicians, whom I love and pray for, is not in line with the Bible. Because the Bible tells us, glory be unto God, that that land is not Arab land, Judea and Samaria, what the world calls the West Bank and Gaza. But that's exactly in the West Bank, Judea, Samaria, according to the Word of God, is exactly where Abraham was at. He was in Shechem, then he went to Bethel, he went then south to Hebron. All of that area that I'm talking about, the world calls the West Bank and says that that belongs unto the Arab peoples. No, no, no. The Bible says that God had given it to the nation of Israel forever as an everlasting covenant, all the land of Canaan. So we need to think like God on this. We don't need to think like the world. We need to think like God. And God says it's all belongs to the children of Israel, and so that's the way it is. Did you hear that? Verse 8 again, because you need to hear it. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. Now let's look at another scripture, if you would, please. Turn with me to Genesis 26. Genesis 26. Here's Isaac in verse 1. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So he's saying all. Everybody say all right there in your home. All. He's going to give him all. That's good news. Now let's find out some of those all places. Go back with me to Genesis, the 15th chapter. And it says in Genesis, the 15th chapter, God speaking to Abraham, In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt, we believe that to be the Nile, all the way unto the great river, the river Euphrates. In other words, the river Euphrates is in that Mesopotamia area. The river Euphrates is where American troops are right now, delivering an oppressed people. And notice this, that they said they go all the way to the river Euphrates. Now, here's something interesting. I heard on a news broadcast the other day during the present conflict in Iraq, I heard on a newscast that the Arab peoples of Iraq were saying that the only reason that America was doing this campaign in Iraq was for the benefit of Israel, so that they could have a greater Israel. Now, in Hebrew, greater Israel is Ha'eretz HaGadol, the greater Israel, the big Israel, Ha'eretz HaGadol. And so, you know, this is the greater Israel right here. So it tells me something. That the Arab peoples of Iraq, the leadership there, have been reading the Bible. Maybe they believe the Bible more than we think they believe the Bible. Because they're saying, well, that's the only reason America... Well, that's not the only reason America is over there, glory to God. But notice this, it tells us the land that has been given by covenant to Abraham, to Isaac, from the river of Egypt under the great river, the river Euphrates. Then it goes through the nations that are involved, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. So the land that God gave unto Abraham was a large, large piece of land, and we don't see it all yet, but in the future the earth shall experience that the nation of Israel will be exactly the size God said it was. It will go from the river of Egypt unto the river Euphrates. And we're all familiar with that in the Mesopotamia area in what is now modern day Iraq. Modern day Iraq is, for those who don't know, is spoken of as Babylon. That's where Nebuchadnezzar came against Israel and took captive the children of Israel. Well, let me tell you something. God's outline for the future state of Israel is all the way to the river Euphrates, and it will be just like God said it will be. In fact, we ought to just take time in a little while, maybe not this week, but next week, and just go through the Bible and show you the scriptures that says that this word is truth. This word is truth. All the other things are fiction that might be coming out, but this one thing you can rest assured of, the Bible is true. And that's good news. And so chapter 26, God dealing with Isaac, the son of Abraham. And he says in verse 3, I will give all these countries, those countries we just read, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. In other words, God said, it's yours, and so it's yours. Well, let's look at another scripture. It'll be good for us. Genesis 28, verse 1. And Isaac called Jacob. Jacob was his son, and blessed him, and charged him, and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go in to Padamaram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayst be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. Well, what did he give to Abraham? Well, he gave first, right there at Alon Moreh, the plain of Moreh, which overlooks Shechem, been there many, many times. From that area, he went all the way to Bethel, which is a little south and a little bit to the east, but it's still north of Jerusalem. And then south from Jerusalem, he went down to Hebron, or Hebron in Hebrew. That's the way God would say it, Hebron. Right there, that's where he built the altars, and that's the area. Plus all the other areas from the river of Egypt all the way to the river Euphrates. I urge you to get your map and see how much God has promised the children of Israel, and they will have what God said, because this is forever, remember, it's everlasting. Everybody say forever right there. God said it was forever, and God said it was everlasting covenant. Verse 4 again, here in Genesis, the 28th chapter, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. Oh, blessed be God. Then something happens down in verse 10. Now, every one of you that ever went to Sunday school or ever went to Bible school or know any little thing about the Bible have heard this story. Remember Jacob's dream. Jacob went to sleep. A ladder occurred and angels ascending up on the ladder and coming down. Well, what does that, you know, that's just not a cute little Bible story. That has major significance in this end time. So you know one of the major prophetic scriptures in the Bible if you know that little story. Verse 10 says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now notice this. You know, some Christians believe that God got through with the Jews when they didn't receive Jesus when he came in the first time to the earth. Well, that's not true. They said, well, you know, the Lord has left the people of Israel. They've left the Jews. The Christians are taking over all that God had promised the Jews. Well, that's not true, because God said here, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. This is everlasting. This is forever. The land of Israel does not belong to the Christians. The land of Israel does not belong to the Arabs. God gave the Arab peoples so many areas, so many pieces of land. I believe at the last count, just the Arab League, speaking of the Arab League, the Arab League nations are 640 times greater in landmass than what is the nation of Israel. 640 to 1. Well, they got a lot of stuff. God said he would bless the descendants of Ishmael. God said princes and kings would come from them. But God gave one little piece of land unto the children of Israel. And where was it at? Well, here's where Jacob was. He was in Beersheba, but Beersheba in Hebrew. And Beersheba is south of what you know as the West Bank, what I know is Judea, as the Bible knows it. So Judea and Samaria, it's in what is now Israel proper. But there he was, and he went out from there towards Haran, and there he had that dream. And in that dream, God says that land is his land and his seed's land. Did you get that? Well, we're going to have to continue there next week because our time's almost up.